Well, good morning, and thanks for tuning in to 88.5 KRFY on this very rainy, raining cats and dogs sort of day here on December 8th, and it is 8 o'clock in the morning. And this is the KRFY morning show, and thank you for joining us. And I'm Susie Prez, one of your hosts. And
I'm your co-host, Susie, Chris Bessler. Good morning.
Good morning. It's nice to have you here. We have guests in the studio. We have Nancy Dooley, who's the program director of the Idaho Conservation League, and Susan Drumhiller, and she calls herself the North Idaho Associate of Idaho Conservation League. Good morning, Nancy and Susan.
Good morning. Thanks for having us here.
We have lots of things to talk about. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about, and we're here for a purpose. But before we get to that, let's talk about a few other things, like the weather. From the National Weather Service, it looks like the temperature currently is 36 degrees, and it, like I said, it's raining cats and dogs, and we have a 100% chance of rain for the next 2 days, and flood advisory, heavy rains today, heavy rains tonight, and heavy rains tomorrow. Highs today, 46. Low tonight, 47. It's going to warm up. And high tomorrow, 45. And then the temperature will start going down with the possibility of snow in the valley on Thursday. And we have high wind advisory. So if you're thinking of you're flying out of Spokane, better check on Wednesday because it's high winds out there too. And what else do we need to know about the weather? That's about it. It's rainy. And with the flood advisories, just be aware of the lowland-lying areas. Has anyone seen any flooding in the area?
Oh, there's a lot of water on the roads, but I haven't seen any actual flooding yet.
Oh, okay.
So. My son was hoping that it would rain so much that the roads would flood, then it would freeze, and he could ice skate.
To school.
On the road.
Yeah. All right.
Actually, some folks have already been ice skating this year.
Oh, yeah, we've been ice skating.
Where are we at? We out by
We went a couple places. We went to Dover Bay Ponds, and then we went out to Denton Slough out past Hope. It was great.
Denton Slough was really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're a long ways away from ice skating right now. A few more things going on outside. Sunrise this morning was at 7:23 a.m. Sunset will be at 3:51 p.m. That means in the last week we've lost 11 minutes of daylight, which is a lot less than the 22, 23 minutes we were losing a few weeks ago. That's because we're nearing the winter solstice. That's going to be December 23rd. So we're only 2 weeks and a day away from the shortest day of the year. Then every day is longer.
Yay. We'll go for that. Yeah. The other thing with all the snow in the valley here, what do you think is going on up at Schweitzer?
Well, Schweitzer got 3 inches overnight and 13 inches in the past 48 hours, actually. So it got a ton of snow when it was raining here the last couple of days. However, the bad news is the temperature at the summit right now is 33 degrees, and they're forecasting rain and snow today and tomorrow, with a high getting up to 39 today. So we're going to lose some of that snow, unfortunately. But on Thursday, as you mentioned, Susie, it's going to get cold again, and their high will be only 26 degrees, and it'll turn back into snow. Now, right now, they have 4 lifts and 12 runs open. So there is some good skiing to have right now for the folks that are hardy skiers. And what else is going on around town? So we can expect some high winds coming in on Wednesday. The story I saw said they could be up to 60 mile per hour gusts with that, which is pretty, it's a lot of wind, actually. It's like the winds we had just a week ago, or a few weeks ago. When the gusts then got up to 71 miles per hour were the high. So be cautious on Wednesday if those winds hit us.
Better put your trampoline away. Ours got lifted up and swept down several hundred yards down our field.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like a big flying saucer.
Yeah.
Yeah, be careful. Other things going on around town? Well, a local landmark went away, the old cycle house on Fifth Avenue. I don't know if any of you folks drove by that, but it was removed yesterday. The city, this actually was infringing, I think, on the right-of-way there. I don't think there's any plans to put anything else up there. It's going to be part of the street redesign is what I understand. Cody, speaking about public works, our Sandpoint Public Works Director Cody Van Dyke announced he's retiring.
after 22 years or something like that.
Yes.
He's going to play music in his band. Well, I forget the name of it, but I'm sure he'll have fun.
Yeah, and I think he's planning to do some charitable work with on water issues in developing countries. As that's one of the things he's interested in doing. But he has had a large impact on this town and done a lot of good works. And in today's Daily Bee, there's a story that the city is buying the land behind the Panada Theater. That's in the Farm and Trust right now. It's that little strip of land that is borders Sand Creek, and the idea there is to deal with some bank erosion issues and stormwater management. And they're not planning to do any development there, so you won't really see any difference, is the story that the Bee reported today.
Kind of secure the banks of the creek, it looks like.
Yeah. And one more news item, probably the most inflammatory issue of the week. The county commissioners passed a resolution calling for a halt in refugee settlement in Bonner County. The resolution that they passed says that there are approximately 4 million Syrian nationals that have fled to other nations since 2011, and they have concern that members of terrorists will infiltrate those groups coming in. Of course, there's a lot of back and forth on that. Other folks are holding that it's really not the American way to pose these sorts of restrictions on people that are, you know, really in need.
Including the leaders of the Republican Party. That's, you know, they're saying that that is not their stand necessarily. So we'll see. We need some more information about these kind of decisions and how these decisions come about.
Yeah. We're actually going to try to devote one of our morning shows in a few weeks to this issue. So we'll announce a little bit more as we get closer, and hopefully we can have a good discussion about it. And speaking of discussions, we have again in the studio here with us Nancy Dooley and Susan Drumheller with the Idaho Conservation League. And you guys actually have a pretty big thing coming up in just a few hours today, right?
We do. We've got two events coming up. One today is called the Paris to Pondere Climate Connection, and that's taking place at 11:30 right here in town at the Columbia Bank Building upstairs in the really nice auditorium they have up there. And it should be a really interesting event. We're going to be Skyping in live from the UN Climate Conference from Paris with ICL member Gary Payton, who's been there for, 2 weeks now almost?
A little over a week.
And he's going to report about what he's been experiencing there. And then we also have our ICL energy associate, Ben Otto, is up from Boise for the event to talk about the clean energy plan and energy-related issues to do with Idaho. And then Susan's going to also talk about the coal and oil train transport issue and about an upcoming hearing that we're having.
So that's all happening today at beginning 11:30 a.m. in the Columbia Bank, the upstairs
auditorium
where there's audio-visual stuff to connect up to that Skype connection.
They have a really slick little operation up there, so we have tested it, and we've got full hope that it's going to just work perfectly.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, knock on wood.
But if it doesn't, we still have got some presentations planned for you, so it'll be a really interesting event. And Tango has nicely created a couple of French-themed lunch items, so you can go down and order your lunch and bring it upstairs and sit back and relax and enjoy the event with a good meal.
Okay. Is there a fee for this?
No, it's free. Yeah. It's open to everyone. You just purchase your own lunch and come on up, and we'll also have some complimentary coffee and cookies.
Okay. So let's dive in on the main issue, which is the Skype session with Gary Payton, who is a Sandpoint resident.
Yeah, Gary is a Sandpoint resident. He's there on behalf of the Presbyterian Church USA as an observer and also for ICL, and he's been doing some blog posts for us. He also won an award from ICL for environmental activism last year. He's been a very active volunteer both for us and for Lake Pondere Waterkeeper, and he's very involved in the divestment movement, you know, with the Presbyterian Church USA, so he's trying to get the church to divest from fossil fuels. So he's been very active in these issues and very passionate about it. He's traveled to Washington, D.C. on his own to meet with our representatives and senators on these issues. And So he felt compelled to go to Paris, and it's been great for us because we're kind of getting a firsthand view of what's going on there. And these are really important talks this year, and so we're hopeful that something good will come out of it.
So in a nutshell, what is the Paris talks about?
Okay, well, this is, I believe, the 21st of the talks. They began in 1979. They're sponsored by the UN. And the whole goal is to come up with international agreements around reducing carbon emissions. And, you know, you've probably heard of the Kyoto Protocols. That was several years ago. I think that was in
10 years ago, actually.
Was it 10 years ago?
I think so.
Was
that far back?
Okay.
Yeah.
There was a pretty good agreement that came out of that. But sadly, it was not ratified by our Congress. So it never really went into effect. And people, different countries and states voluntarily abided by those limits, but we don't have a firm agreement.
What I was wondering, Susan, while you're talking, this climate summit, if it's the 21st one, and attended by over 180 or 150 countries, it's different. And, I mean, it's different to me from having watched it and participated here in Sandpoint in the 350sandpoint.org event that we had a few weeks ago on the 30th prior to the climate summit opening. But what do you see as how this is different? I mean, people are really motivated and the momentum has really changed, I see. But why is this more important? It seems like we're at a turning point.
Well, I think one thing that happened this year was carbon emissions reached 400 parts per million. You know, several years ago, it was pretty well established that 350 parts per million is what we really need to keep carbon emissions at to prevent, you know, catastrophic effects from climate change. And that's why Bill McKibben established 350.org to really kind of underscore the science behind, you know, the issue of climate change and to drive that point home. So it's kind of frightening that we're at 400 parts per million. A couple years ago at the climate talks, the UN climate talks, they came up with an agreement that they wanted to keep. They didn't come up with a carbon emissions agreement, but they did come up with a temperature. They wanted to keep the temperature from rising more than 2 degrees Celsius. I think we're under 2, but it's climbing. And so I think people are feeling a sense of urgency. We also see some momentum. There's some positive things that have been happening that I think give people hope that an agreement could be reached. One is that China has made pledges to move away from coal and drastically reduce their dependence on coal. You know, we've got a number of initiatives that our president has taken. I think there's just some momentum that's coupled with the urgency that's given people some hope and made this one a really important conference. Also, they changed it up a little bit, and they had all the heads of state. I think there were like 140 or so heads of state. They had them come at the beginning of the conference so that they could help, you know, keep that momentum going from the beginning.
Yet there are still folks that are contesting the science, particularly politicians.
Yeah, I think it's politically driven. I mean, and it's driven by the desire of big oil to keep mm-hmm. making money. I mean, it's pretty clear that we have to keep fossil fuels in the ground as much as we can mm-hmm. To keep carbon emissions from rising over, you know, to catastrophic levels, and that flies in the face of, you know, the profit motives of, you know, these companies.
There's countries in, I think, Norway, I'm not sure, Finland, that are going 100% fossil fuel free. So they're going with clean energy. And if you say keep the oil and the coal in the ground, because that is what creates the emissions that are creating the 400 parts per million emissions and the rising temperatures, which will be catastrophic for the future. Is it possible? I mean, that's kind of, there's divestment so that coal industry, the oil industries don't have the support, the financial support, but is it possible in the next 10 years, 20 years to become free from dirty energy and become, yeah.
I would like to say yes, but I'm not an expert on this. I wish Ben were here. Ben Otto, I mean, it would be great if you guys can, and the listeners can come to our lunch today at noon, because Ben Otto will be talking about the Clean Power Plan in Idaho and some of these issues. I mean, he really is the expert in Idaho on clean energy and alternatives to, you know, what we rely on now in terms of fossil fuels. And Idaho actually is in a pretty good position for meeting the requirements of the Clean Power Plan, because we have a lot of alternatives.
We have hydro.
And we have geothermal.
Okay.
We got a lot of sunshine, at least maybe in the southern part of the state. But, I mean, there's a lot of alternatives for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the good news. And Ben Otto will be at your event at the Columbia Bank building today. It starts at 11:30, and that is the Paris, Ponderé to Paris Climate Connection. And lots of opportunity to ask questions, get informed, and find out more.
He's also going to be at our event tomorrow night, which Nancy didn't get a chance to talk about a little bit. So I just want to segue into that, and I'm sure we'll mention it again, but bears mentioning now.
Right. We have a holiday party coming up Wednesday night. So we've got one today, and then tomorrow night at the Poor Authority, it'll be a drop-in between 5 and 8 p.m. stop-in. We'll have some updates about the work we're going to be working on the upcoming year, a little review of some of our accomplishments over the past. But we also have 7 great tasting Deschutes Brewery beers on tap, as well as holiday gift ideas, a whole bunch of ICL cool, you know, hats and mugs and whatnot that you can buy for stocking stuffers. And you can always renew your membership on that night, as well as there'll be some good door prizes. So it'll be a fun time to just stop in and have a little holiday cheer.
Mm-hmm. And support ICL.
You'd probably even accept a donation.
We would definitely accept any donation. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's getting to be the end of the year, and a lot of people are renewing their memberships to their organizations. And ICL is a member-based organization, and we're only as strong as our members. So we really rely on the donations of folks out there. So mm-hmm. stop in, have a beer, and become a member.
Mm-hmm. And then you can also buttonhole Ben and ask him these hard questions.
Some more questions. Yeah. I know.
Or you can come today at 11:30, because Ben will be giving a talk.
Or both.
So let me ask you, Susan and Nancy, along with the, if you will, the opposing side on this, because it is a national discussion about how the United States should implement climate control measures. Or carbon control measures probably is more accurate. We see so much bad press about it. I think some folks are just saying, it's not going to make any difference. We can't make a difference at this point. And they're kind of bailing on the whole issue.
Well, did you see the spokesman review today? Was a bit of good news today that carbon emissions actually dropped in the past year. And so that is, I think, it may be a blip. Some people say, oh, this is just a blip. But I don't know, it gives me some hope that there is the possibility of reversing the trend. And I think we need to do everything possible to do that. I mean, I think the weird weather we're having, which we're experiencing even right now, is just more reason to work harder to make all the changes we can, both, you know, on a personal basis and also on a regional and national basis, to try to trend away from carbon emissions and fossil fuels. There's a lot of things we can do individually.
And we are having successes around the world, like you mentioned. And also China has always been the largest carbon emissions, and they're dropping because of practices they've put in actually into effect and that are going to be going on. And fortunately, India is supposed to be taking over as the lead, partially because they're going to so much coal-fired power. India.
Oh, they're going to be the lead in carbon emissions.
Right. So, but
because their position is that, you know, they can't sacrifice their growth, and they need this energy, and they have apparently large coal
Well, and they have
reserves.
Huge populations of people that are just not have no electricity, so they're trying to get that to upgrade their quality of life. But as we've shown in a film we've shown for ICL, there's much cleaner, better ways to do it. You can get with less expense having smaller hubs of electricity, not giant ones that
big people try to put power grids.
Right.
One international success story, if you will, is. That I think about when you think about the fact that nations have to cooperate on this to actually make anything happen is the fact that nations did cooperate on the ozone hole that has been forming over the South Pole.
That's right.
And there's actually been a great deal of success there. The ozone layer is healing itself.
We set restrictions. We eliminated chlorofluorocarbons.
Right.
I'm actually pretty familiar with that because my father worked a lot with that, with different senators trying to restrict that.
So right, right. So international cooperation to get something like that done is actually possible.
And speaking of international cooperation, when you think of the South Pacific Islands that are really the emerging economies that are really in jeopardy the most as the sea levels potentially could rise, a part of this Paris Climate Summit is talking about how all of the countries can support each other, meaning with funding from the countries that have the most financial ability to help other countries meet their needs. And that's a big issue in the Climate Summit. But I'm sure we'll hear about that from Gary.
I was just going to say, it'd be really interesting to hear what's been going on the last few days over there, because I haven't been keeping up with the news. And so it'll be great to, he's been taking notes and he'll give a good update.
And I just want to send out that when Gary gets back, he's going to come into the KRFY morning show and we'll interview him on January 12th. So we'll find out exactly what happened over there.
Good.
Yeah, as far as I know, he's the only person from Sandpoint that's attending. Is that, do you guys know of anybody else?
There may be others, but not that
haven't
we know
heard.
Of.
Yeah.
It is a large, whole bunch of people there, over 10,000, right? And do you guys know what the number is?
I'm not sure what the number
is. Yeah, it's a huge number. Of course, not everybody's involved in the talks. A lot of them are citizen activists like Gary that are there to make a statement about how important this issue is to them.
Gary also has credentials to move pretty freely around the conference, so he's able to go into the blue zone where the diplomats are and the green zone where a lot of the activist organizations are. So that's pretty neat. So we'll get a little bit of an insider perspective. One thing we are going to talk about a little bit today too, and this is something that is coming up in the near future for us, and it's where this issue, I think, hits close to home in a number of ways, is the issue of the transport of Bakken crude oil through here. And I don't know if you need to take a break, but I would love to segue into that issue a little bit.
I think we should do a song break.
Okay.
In fact, Susie's got queued up some pretty good songs. And that's a great issue for us to dive in on when we come back.
And really, it's always good, as Gary said when he was here before, to have the feeling of momentum. We can move this forward. And actually, a sad note, John Lennon died on this date in 1980, and I think it's one of those times that we all remember where we were that day. And this is one of his songs. It's kind of a theme song of the Paris Climate Summit. It's called Imagine. We'll be right back. This is 88.5 KRFY. We are here with The Morning Show with Susan Drumhiller, Nancy Dooley from Idaho Conservation League. Stay with us and enjoy John Lennon, Imagine. We'll be right back. And that was John Lennon, Imagine, a great song for a day like this, when we're thinking about how we can have a great future and have a good climate and really save this planet, is the way I look at it. And we're here with Nancy Dooley and Susan Drumhiller from Idaho Conservation League, who are working hard and have many events coming up. We've talked a little bit about an event today. We'll get back to that. But Susan, you are going to segue into the next subject, because there's so many things that Idaho Conservation League and are working on that let's hear about that.
Well, this issue is something that relates both to our climate work, our energy work, as well as just local quality of life and protecting water quality and in our community as a whole. And that is the issue of the increasing number of crude oil trains coming through North Idaho. And there's a number of proposals on the West Coast to build oil terminals or refineries or other facilities that would take this oil. And so for every one of these facilities that's built, it potentially means more mile-long crude oil trains coming through here. And as everybody probably knows by now, these trains are pretty dangerous. The Bakken crude is really a volatile type of crude oil, and it's been known to burn at a very, it has a low flash point. So it burns very easily and explodes very easily. And 47 people were killed in Quebec a couple years ago when one of these trains derailed and exploded. There's been several explosions, like about 12 in the last 2 years, that have been pretty notable. And so
big fiery explosions.
Yeah. And it's a bombs. Big mm-hmm. issue. Yeah. They call them bomb trains. Mm-hmm. And so the biggest of all the proposed terminals would be in Vancouver, Washington, and it's owned by Tesoro Savage. And it would handle 360,000 barrels of oil per day. And that would mean, that would equate to about 4 to 5 full oil trains per day coming through here. If all these facilities were built, we would have potentially 100 trains per week coming through here. That's per week. So it's a lot of trains. And we don't, right now, there's a hearing coming up on January 14th in the Spokane Valley at Center Place, and we've got all the information on our website right now. We'll have more information coming out later. But this hearing is really important. It's before the Energy Siting Agency in Washington State and DEQ, and they've done an environmental impact statement on this oil terminal. And we need people to turn out and talk about what the potential impacts would be here and raise their concerns, because they need to hear from us. We have a goal with a coalition of other groups in the Northwest to get 350 people at that hearing. So we'll be talking about that a little bit today, too.
There's so many times when you feel a little bit frustrated and you don't know how to help out and make a difference. And this is a really easy way to make a difference locally, is to come with us to this hearing that's taking place on January 14th. And in order to do so, we've made it easy for you. We're going to be driving you down there, but also we're going to give you some training. So we've got a little pizza party planned next Tuesday, December 15th.
Wednesday. Isn't it Wednesday?
I'm sorry.
I think it's Wednesday.
Okay,
yes,
Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
December. Is it the 15th?
Okay. It will be on your website.
It will be on your website. Yeah.
It's Wednesday. Is that the 16th?
16th.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
Wednesday.
Okay, sorry. Wednesday, December 16th. Good catch, Susan.
So it will be the training.
That'll be the training, right? Mm-hmm. And so Susan's going to do a webinar that people will be picking up at home, but also a live event. You can come down there. We'll give you talking points. We'll feed you. And we'll arm you.
So one of the things that people think about when you think about a hearing that's going to go on to see if a terminal can be licensed, we'll say, how much going down there and talking really influences the outcome and changes the direction that this company, this oil company, wants to go? Can we really influence the decision?
Yes, I believe so. And I think that's because the folks at Department of Environmental Quality in Washington State and the governor's office, his siting authority, they have to listen to you, and they have to consider these issues that are brought up and whether there are weaknesses in this environmental impact statement, whether all the concerns have been addressed. you know, they have standards by which they need to make a decision. And part of it is just showing them how many people are concerned. That's part of it. Part of it is having good arguments, and there's lots of good arguments. And there's a large number of people who are working on this. So I think being part of a movement in this case, I think really can make a difference. If there were just one or two people going there and standing up and speaking, you know, it'd pretty much be a slam dunk that mm-hmm. they'd approve the thing. But if we have hundreds of people, there are going to be three different hearings in Washington State. One is in Spokane, the other two are in Vancouver. If they have hundreds of people showing up, they have to pay attention. They're going to give it a harder look. It's going to be more scrutiny.
The impact is so big for small communities like ours and even Spokane, with the potential of an extra 100 trains per week of these rolling bombs. So I'm nearly saying this. I'm glad to hear that participating in this way can make a difference.
Yeah, and if you can't come to the hearing, we'll be sure to let people know how they can supply comments, written comments, emailed comments, and we'll have, you know, information for people about the facility so that they can refer to. I just lost my train of thought.
Well, let me jump in on
train.
We're talking about trains.
Long train.
And one thing that these trains are doing, carrying these massive loads, is they're posing more stress on the rail lines themselves, on the rails. And there was a story just recently that I was reading that the Federal Railroad Administration lets the railroads inspect the lines themselves. There's no third-party inspection of the rails. Is that accurate?
Well, there is. The Federal Railroad Administration has their own inspectors, but they're not that many. And for instance, there is one Federal Railroad inspector that covers Eastern Washington, all of Idaho, and Western Montana. That's one inspector for, you know, right. more than one state.
I think what that inspector is doing is reviewing the railroad's own inspections, right?
No,
I don't think he gets out and looks at the rail lines himself.
Oh, well, I thought they actually went out and looked at the lines.
Yeah, well, one guy in that.
Yeah, but it can't be that effective.
Yeah.
Some states have their own inspectors. Idaho does not have any inspectors that look at the tracks themselves. We have an inspector who looks at the hazardous materials and what's being carried on the trains and whether it's being done properly and that sort of thing. But they only get up to North Idaho six times a year. So, I mean, we really don't have very much attention to the tracks here, except for what BNSF and MRL and Union Pacific mm-hmm. do themselves.
Mm-hmm. And it's not that those railroads aren't concerned about, obviously, the safe passage of these loads through here.
Yeah, they don't want them to derail either.
Yeah, they don't want them to derail either. But the fact is, this increase in traffic and the huge loads they're carrying is going to pose more stress on the system.
And there's always the conflict between, you know, safety and profit, you know. I mean, and you hear that from the folks who work for the railroads. We had somebody who is a whistleblower with BNSF. And, you know, she's really concerned about some of the practices, you know, within the railroad itself. So, you know, they're fighting to make their working conditions more safe. The railroad has pushed for, you know, one-man crews, for instance, on these freight trains. They don't feel like that's a safe thing. They want to have an engineer and a conductor, not right. just an engineer. So, yes, it's good that the companies have their own inspectors. But I think it makes sense to have more third-party inspectors.
Yes, yeah, a non-conflicted third-party inspection that's their, actually their constituent is public safety above all, higher than profit. There was a letter writer in the Bee last week that was scoffing at the idea that there could be safety issues with the railroad bridges. I don't know if you spotted that letter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the thing that jumped to my mind is that letter writer probably hasn't been around that long, because the bridge, the Spokane International Bridge across the Kootenai River in Bonners Ferry, actually collapsed in 1985.
Yeah.
And it I mean, there was a train on it, and it completely went into the river. It was just, I have a very big visual in my mind because I was living here then. That's a perfect example. Sometimes they push their equipment, as we all do, and it's that had happened with one of these oil trains. It could have wiped out the whole town of Bonner's Ferry, disaster. Actually.
Yeah, and one thing we didn't talk about, I mean, we've talked about the fact that these trains are so dangerous and volatile, but also they run along a lot of waterways, and so our waterways really are at risk. The Kootenai River is a perfect example. The tracks run right along the shore, the banks, and then, you know, of course, across Lake Pend'Oreille and across the Rathdrum Prairie Aquifer, where, you know, there's a lot of that refueling depot almost didn't get built because of the aquifer there. And now we're talking about a lot more trains going across.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention the other safety concerns that include prolonged delays at railroad crossings that could delay, you know, emergency personnel from getting through.
When we have, I think, 60 unguarded crossings in the county, there's a large number of those. And, of course, we've had some tragic deaths at those crossings. Mm-hmm. Just in the last couple of years.
So we have an opportunity coming up on January 14th with training prior to this opportunity to go down to Spokane with a whole bunch of concerned citizens and make a difference is what I'm hearing.
Yep, and we're renting a van. Mm-hmm. So if you don't want to drive yourself or you don't want to be part of a carpool, you can hop in the van with us. So we want to try to make it easy for people to go.
And make a difference in the outcome of the Tesoro Savage terminal potential in Vancouver, Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so you can, to let us know if you're interested, you can just give us a call at 208-265-9565, or you can stop by today at our event, and we'll have a sign-up sheet there collecting people's emails, or tomorrow at our holiday party at Port Authority.
And just once again, let's talk about the event. And then we want to just mention the lifting of the export ban. But tomorrow, or today, at 11:30 at the Columbia Bank Building, upstairs is a very special event. It's the Pend'Oreille to Paris Climate Connection. You're going to Skype live, hopefully, with Gary Payton, who's in Paris at the Climate Summit. And also Ben Otto will be there. You all be there. And we'll hear more about ways we can be involved and get inspired and informed. That's what really makes a difference. And this event is today at 11:30. And then Wednesday night, your annual holiday party.
That's right.
That's always fun. And it's a great way to support an organization such as Idaho Conservation League by being there and joining, supporting any way you can.
And drinking beer.
And drinking really good beer.
And listening to live music.
Yeah.
Do your part and drink beer, right?
Yeah.
and so we just want to remind our listeners, this is 88.5 KRFY. We're here at the morning show with Susan Drumhiller and Nancy Dooley from the Idaho Conservation League, talking about all kinds of important things and what's next.
Well, another thing that's come up very recently has been a proposal in Congress to lift the oil export ban. For 40 years, we've had an export ban on domestic oil, and that was to provide for energy independence and to also control gas prices. Well, with oil prices having dropped so low recently, there's a real push to open up the markets for the oil companies and lift the oil export ban. But unfortunately, this just means we're going to see more trains coming through here. I mean, one thing, we were talking about the trains a minute ago and the proposed terminals for the West Coast. If they built all those terminals and all those refineries, basically there would be more oil going to the Pacific Northwest than we could use domestically. So I think they're betting on the export oil ban being lifted. And that's going to have an enormous impact on us. It's going to make the Pacific Northwest a bigger energy hub than, you know, the Gulf Coast and Texas. So it's going to change things pretty dramatically. And the Senate expected to vote on this on Thursday. So we're asking people to contact our senators, Senator Risch and Senator Crapo, and ask them not to support lifting the oil export ban. And this is part of these budget negotiations that are ongoing right now.
Is there another argument to make there that's not wise to lift it just because we want to maintain our own energy security?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, that's why we've had it in place for 40 years. And, you know, yeah, gas prices are low right now, but I think that we introduce more volatility to, you know, the prices without that kind of reserve that we can have.
Yeah, as President Bush famously said, you know, our country's addicted to oil, and that addiction put us at kind of at the mercy of oil producers in the Middle East. Since that time, we've developed new domestic supplies that has given us probably more freedom from being subject to those other oil producers. But it doesn't seem wise, just looking down the road, that we would be exporting our own oil at this point.
Yeah, and one reason we're able to do that, and there's a great desire to do it, is that fracking has opened up so much more oil production in the States. And so now we have sort of this glut. And, you know, the oil companies want to take advantage of that. And getting back to the climate impacts, though, the reason that this is really a big deal is that if we start pumping things and you know, exporting all our oil, we're going to really start to deplete the fossil fuels. And, you know, apparently, according to the math, we can emit 565 gigatons of carbon dioxide and stay below 2 degrees Celsius.
The fossil fuel, you're saying worldwide?
That's worldwide. Okay. 565 gigatons. That's what we've got. That's how much we can spend before we go over that 2-degree threshold. But the fossil fuel companies have in reserve, and that's like underground, right, that they've mapped out, that they know that they have, 2,795 gigatons. So they want to sell all that. But that's going to really increase temperatures.
Well, worldwide. The good news is there's organizations such as Idaho Conservation League and the Lake Pend'oreille Waterkeepers that are not only looking at reducing trains through our beautiful community and keeping us safe that way, but, you know, the rallying cry, keep it in the ground, is a valid cry and a valid thing. So we appreciate all the work that your organization does and all the events that you have coming up. We could just talk about them one more time and...
Sure. Keep everybody informed.
Sure.
Today we have the Paris to Pend'oreille Climate Connection. That's happening right here in Sandpoint, downtown at the Columbia Bank Building. You can come in, grab some lunch, a French-themed lunch, and then hear some presentations about climate change. We'll be Skyping in from the UN Climate Talks with a ICL member. And we've got a couple of staff members up from Boise just for the event.
And that starts at 11:30.
11:30 to 1, so you can pop in any time and catch some of that. We also have an event tomorrow night, our holiday party. It's our annual party. We'll give updates on what we're working on. We'll have some good ICL door prizes to give away, as well as some holiday gift ideas. There'll be 7 different beers on tap, live music. It'll be really fun, so stop in. And that's between 5 and 8 at the Idaho Poor Authority.
And the training...
That's
and
right.
The hearing in Spokane on January 14th, but prior to that, you can get training. I think
that'll be happening at December 16th, Wednesday at 5:30 after work. You can stop by at the University of Idaho Extension Center. That's out by the fairgrounds. We'll have some pizza and refreshments, and we'll give you all the scoop about what you need to know and when we'll be going down there. And so you can tell your friends, bring a buddy, do your part. It's a pretty easy way to...
And that's to go down to Spokane and really testify and be there for the hearing on the Tesoro Savage oil depot that's proposed right now.
Yeah.
It could be stopped. It would increase trains, but also just encourage more oil being drawn out of the ground.
That's right.
Yeah, the hearing is on January 14th, and it's kind of a tough time for us because obviously the holidays are coming up. And originally it was going to be on the 7th. So we planned this training for next week. We might do another little training right before the hearing. So if you missed this one, stay tuned. Hopefully there will be another opportunity later.
What does the training consist of?
Basically, we're going to give people more background on the...
So it's kind of educational.
Yeah. And then you know what to expect if you're going to go testify, if you have, you know, 2 minutes or 3 minutes, how to give effective testimony.
Mm-hmm. And that number to call is 265-9565 to find out more about that, or go to the event today and talk to both of you. I'm sure you'll both be there.
Yep,
I wish
yep.
I could. I have to teach today, so...
Oh, yeah.
Mm. But it's been wonderful having you in. Anything else you want to share? It's always great. We really want to have this kind of information as much as possible. So.
I just like to add that, you know, we have this awesome website that's very robust. New blogs come up every day. So if you're interested in any of these issues, please check it out. Gary's got 3 blogs that he's submitted from the UN Climate Talks. There's multiple blogs on energy from Ben Otto. Susan's got quite a few about the hearing and coal and oil trains. So that website, it's idahoconservation.org, easy to find, and lots of places to sign up to there.
Thank you, Susan Drumheller and Nancy Dooley from Idaho Conservation League for coming in today. Hope to see you again soon.
Thanks so much.
You're
yes,
welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're going to go out with a song. We're going to actually come back and tell you about more information about what's going on in our community in the next few days this week. But before we do that, we're going to put on a song. And this is a for someone special's birthday today. And I think we know his name is Jim. So happy birthday, Jim. And this is the Beatles' birthday. We'll be right back. And that was the Beatles' birthday. And Jim, if you're listening out there, we're really glad it's your birthday. So thanks. This is 88.5 KRFY, and this is the morning show with Chris and Susie. Thanks for tuning in. And Chris, there's things going on in our community. Let's start talking about them. And by the way, the interview we just had with Nancy and Susan from the Idaho Conservation League, that will be up on our website as a podcast. You can listen to it later or tell your friends about it so they can listen and get informed.
That's right. And, of course, there's more going on in this town than we can possibly cover here. So you want to go to carefy.org and check our calendar, or sandpointonline.com, which provides the calendars. But there are a few of the things going on. There's an avalanche workshop actually tonight. It's called A Dozen More Turns, and it's an opportunity to boost your avalanche awareness. Very timely, of course, right now. We're starting to get snow up in the high country. Tonight's workshop is a documentary screening of the film, A Dozen More Turns. It starts at 6 p.m. in the conference room of the Forest Service Building at 1602 Ontario Street.
That's a good one. I just want to reiterate what's happening today at 11:30 at the Columbia Bank Building. It's called the Ponderé to Paris Climate Summit Connection, and it's being hosted by the Idaho Conservation League. It gives you a chance to see a live Skype with Gary Payton, who is at the Paris Climate Summit. And that is today, again, at 11:30 at the Columbia Bank Building upstairs. But you can get lunch first at Tango. It's a French-themed lunch, actually. And then tomorrow night, again, the Idaho Conservation League holiday party is being held from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Idaho Poor Authority at 203 Cedar Street. You'll get updates on the issues of ICL. Staff members have been working on all year. And you can support this organization. And you can call 265-9565 for more information.
Some other things going on also tomorrow night. The Monarch Mountain Coffee has a jazz and Java event. It's basically a jazz jam. There's an open mic. It runs from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's the second Wednesday of every month, and that's tomorrow, this coming Wednesday. So come on in. It's hosted by Larry Mooney, and you can call 290-2632 if you want more information on that, or just show up between 6 and 8 at Monarch Mountain Coffee. There's a sippin' shop at the Ponderé Winery that is Wednesday. That's the 10th. No, excuse me, Thursday. That's the 10th from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. It benefits the festival at Sandpoint, and 10% of all the proceeds from the sippin' shop go from the Ponderé Winery gift shop, and the tasting room in the Bistro Rouge will be donated to the festival at Sandpoint. So that a fun way to support the festival.
And there's another sip and shop at the Ponderay Winery actually tonight that is supporting a nonprofit organization called the Village Green Project. It's a book trust organization. It's probably a good thing. Let's see. The Book Trust mission is to uniquely deliver choice and ownership of books to children from low-income families, increasing their literacy skills and fostering a lifelong learning of reading. So that's actually tonight at the Ponderay Winery also.
Yeah, and that's, of course, a very worthwhile thing.
Absolutely.
When kids start learning to read, they then begin to read to learn. So it's a very important part of education. One more, let's throw out another one. There's a Community Day fundraiser at Schweitzer Mountain Resort on Friday the 11th. All lift tickets that day are only $10, but it's going to raise funds for Community Cancer Services and the Bonner Partners in Care Clinic. So that's, if you're a skier, get up there. It's a great deal, only $10, but the revenue is going to support two very good groups. That's this Friday.
And we're going to call it a day. I have a great song to go out on. But I want you to know that Thursday, Jack and Diane will be here at 8 o'clock in the morning for the Thursday edition of The Morning Show. And next Tuesday, Chris and I will be back for The Morning Show. And our guests will be outgoing Mayor Carrie Logan and Mayor-elect Shelby Ronstead for the passing of the mayor torch. And we're going to have, they're going to have some stuff to share. So you can tune in with us again on Tuesday next week at 8 a.m.
And I'd like to throw out that we always accept questions via our website for any of our guests coming up. So if you have questions that you would like to see the outgoing mayor or the incoming mayor address, send us an email. Go to krfy.org. You'll find a contact us link or a link right there on the home page to submit your questions for the mayors.
And this was the number one song in 1965. It's by the Byrds, called Turn, Turn, Turn. It was written by Pete Seeger, but the words come from the Bible, actually, the book of Ecclesiastics. I think we're all somewhat familiar with this. We hope you have a wonderful day. And Chris, thank you.
Yeah, and thank you, Susan.
Mm-hmm. This is the Byrds, Turn, Turn, Turn.